I will try to be rapid, and then again, I may not. I'll try to be rapid. That don't mean I'll be short-winded. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 1 is our opening verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 1. It says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." Praise God. You can be seated again this morning. Wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom, when you stop and think about it, the basic definition of wisdom is the rightful use of knowledge. You know, if we if we tell a child not to spit on the ground, and then they choose to be obedient and they don't spit on the ground, we usually say that was a wise choice. Because had they done it again, they would have got the board of knowledge to increase their wisdom. See, just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you're wise. You know, my children, usually by the third time that I had to spank them for something, they finally got wise. And they didn't do that again. Because, I don't know, I'm just the type of individual. The first time that I spanked them, it was firm. Second offense, it was firmer. And the third offense, they couldn't sit down for a day. You get in the picture. See, if it don't work the first time, you increase it the second time. If it don't work the second time, you get a little more increase to it the third time. Praise God. Until their will breaks, wisdom has just sprouted. There'll be no wisdom until will breaks. None at all. It's no different for you as an adult. There'll be no wisdom until your will humbles before God and you become obedient. Then wisdom is birthed. Woo, praise God. So wisdom hath builded her house and she hath hewn out her seven pillars. I want to preach on the seven columns of wisdom. Of course, using a reference here of a house and wisdom building this house. Now the foundation of the house of wisdom is found in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. I think most of us are familiar with building a house. The first part of building a house is the foundation. The foundation, and I don't know all the specs, Brother Jason probably does. The foundation has to go deep enough to where it reaches a solid material that it won't just keep going further down. And a lot of times in building these houses, they have to take out all the excess topsoil and refill it with something that will compact and become hard and stable and not move anymore. So they can pour the foundation there on that. And so then the foundation is the most important part of wisdom is the foundation. And in Proverbs 9 and 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And so we find then the foundation of building upon the house of wisdom, the foundation is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Now, we look at that and we think about that, but how many really understand what is the fear of the Lord? I mean, you got to have the fear of the Lord to have the beginning of wisdom. Okay, what is that? What do you mean? You know, I got to be so scared to death I can't speak, say nothing. No, no, that's not what that is. The fear of the Lord, hang on with me, is really kind of the same as the fear of the father in a family. Now, my children knew that I would do exactly what I said I would do as far as punishment, obedience, disobedience. They had a good, healthy fear of daddy. They even had a good, healthy fear of mama, too. Praise the Lord. There has to be fear in a child that mama and daddy are going to keep their word. Whether it's a reward or a promise, or whether it is a discipline. There has to be that. If there's no fear, there's no obedience. How many look at society today, and you always look at the children and you look at, wow. How many would want to be a bus driver? School bus driver? How many realize there's always ads out needing drivers? Needing, you wonder why? No, you don't wonder why. You know why, don't you? Why? Because we have a whole society of people that, number one, don't have the right foundation towards God. They don't have a fear of the Lord. They don't believe God's going to keep His word. They don't believe God's word is true. They don't really believe anything about God, that maybe He does or doesn't exist. And so now look at the society that produces. Amen. So we've got to have the fear of the Lord. What that means for you and I, and we understand it. The fear of the Lord is when the Holy Ghost of God, coupled with the Word of God, begin to come our direction and show us and reveal to us that we were sinners before God, and that we needed salvation, we needed forgiveness, we needed power to transform and change our lives. The fear of the Lord is when I responded to the dealing of the Holy Ghost, and I surrendered my life, I surrendered my will, and He washed me, cleansed me, I was born again by the Spirit of God. That is when the fear of the Lord started in my life. That is when the fear of the Lord started in yours. Because the fear of the Lord is hearing what God says about my life and wanting to respond to it in humble obedience. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the foundation. So in other words, the foundation of wisdom. Wisdom's never going to come until you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Which means you have humbled your heart, surrendered to Jesus Christ, surrendered your will to God, and you are now become a child of His and a follower of Jesus Christ, not a leader of Jesus Christ. We got too many church folks that want to tell Jesus what to do, what He can do, what He can't do, in their lives. And they don't, what is that? They haven't been born again. Because when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you have humbled yourself. You have submitted your will to His. Oh, hallelujah. You want to know what a closet of prayer is like? Hallelujah. I mean, I was thinking about that when the devotion was going on Tuesday night before, but my mind was just beginning to run to the reality. Maybe it was just God was dealing with me. You know, that closet of prayer is not necessarily when we pray for the lost souls. It's not necessarily, the closet prayer is not when we pray for our country. The closet, in other words, Tuesday night is not really our closet of prayer. It's not. It's our time of supplication and bringing our knees before God. But the closet of prayer is found when Jesus Christ went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, His closet of prayer is the Garden of Gethsemane. Your closet of prayer is that of the Garden of Gethsemane. In other words, that place you go to die. That place you go to surrender. That place you go and confront your self-will. That place that you go hide before everybody or hide from everybody else and become open before God so He can change your life. And you know what happens when you go into that closet of prayer? Jesus said, when you come from that closet of prayer, then God will reward you openly. You want to see souls saved? Then revive the closet of prayer. Revive that place where you go to die. Revive that place to where you go and continually surrender to the will of God. Revive that place where you go and continue to allow God show you your shortcomings and your faults and the things you need to change. Praise God. I got way off out here on a limb, but amen. Let's swing on it for a while. Praise God. Just like a young kid, you know, just get out there on that limb. What do? You just make the best of it while you're there until you fall. Praise God. Amen. So the fear of the Lord, the surrender to God, that's how we got there. That's the beginning of wisdom. See, wisdom is rebuilding the closet of prayer. Amen. Keeping that foundation firm. A firm foundation. Hallelujah. And so that fear of the Lord, in other words, that reality that God knows best and that I am in need of His help continually. And I want to read these scriptures to you this morning. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Closet of prayer. Because what is wisdom? Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Obedience, humility, surrender to God. That's the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so if I'm lacking in my surrender, see, that's if you're lacking wisdom, you're lacking surrender. If you're lacking wisdom, you're lacking obedience. So when you ask God for wisdom, you're actually confessing the fact that you're not really surrendered, you're not really doing what He asked you to do, and you are needing that extra inner strength of the power of the Holy Ghost to crucify that old man so I can do what wisdom demands. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. And this is why the closet of prayer needs a revival in the church today. Amen. I love the times of strengthening in the house of God because they're real. They're there. They are promised by God. The times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But what we're failing to do is taking that time of refreshing and going to the closet of prayer and dying so Christ can live. Whew. There's a pattern. Hallelujah. There is a pattern to God. There always been a pattern to God. And this is the pattern of God. You got to have the foundation first. And that is the fear of the Lord, which is surrender. Amen. Submission. Obedience. Hallelujah. And then, once the foundation is sure, you know, we're keeping that alive, that prayer closet's keeping it alive, maintaining momentum. I loved it. Hallelujah. Praise God. The prayer closet will help us with that. Amen. That's where God can whack us with a club and nobody knows about it. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. So then we erect on this foundation and supporting all the superstructure of the house of wisdom are these seven mighty pillars or columns that James chapter 3 verse number 17 talks about. In James chapter 3, verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Glory. These great columns. The first that is mentioned, this is the wisdom that's from above. In other words, that fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, that surrender to Jesus Christ, that new creature in Jesus Christ, that new man, hallelujah, and now building upon that, purity. Wow. See, 1 John 3:3. Says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Okay, purity. I don't think I can give you a list of something that's going to make you pure. I could give it to you. You might be totally overwhelmed and think, I will never be pure. Or I could let you know that purity is a continual surrender to Jesus Christ as He then begins to reveal to you those things that need to change in your life. And as you change those things in your life, purity is there. Purity is the willingness to walk in the light as He's in the light. Purity is the willingness not to be caught up in selfishness, self-will, nor fleshly desires. See, if those things, self-will, self-desire, and fleshly desires, dominate my mind and rule my life, I am not pure. Not pure at all. It's one thing to battle these thoughts. It's another thing to entertain them on a continual basis. So purity is a column that we're starting to build this house for my God. You realize we are the house of the Lord. We are the tabernacle of our God. Hallelujah. And so for the stability of our Christianity, these things need to become part of our life to be that house God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Peaceable. Peaceable. Then peaceable. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Multitudes of times we'll talk about holiness in this scripture, but we won't talk about the righteousness that's in this scripture. To follow peace with all men is to treat people the way you would like to be treated, not the way they treated you. Peaceable is not returning dirt for dirt. Peaceable is returning flowers for dirt. We'll put it like that. Yeah. I don't return evil for evil. I return good for the evil that's done to me. That's a column. That's a pillar. That's a strength. That's a power. See, if you want power with God, this is where it's at, church. Your power with God is according to your obedience to God. And your power to be a witness is according to these columns, if you will, in your life, your Christian life, displaying the spectacular, splendid house of God. Woo! Hallelujah. It's not so much the color of the house as it is what's in the house. Hallelujah. Woo, praise our God. And so we see then peaceable, follow peace with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. We talk about that we might miss out with God. But if I'm not reflecting God, and if I'm not giving out God, if my attitude and my desire and how I present myself is not what God would do, then they'll never see the Lord. Because they're only going to see God if they see Him in you. And that's why it is so important to pay attention to what you're doing in front of people. You're not living for yourself. Oh, I forgot. Maybe you are living for yourself. And so no man will see the Lord if you're living for yourself. But if you're living for God, they're going to see God. And so you see, it's important that I make sure and build life. Ooh, hallelujah. This is not a new message, church. This is some of the basics of Christianity that the church has forgot. Not saying we have. We're just getting a refresher course. We need refreshers from time to time, don't we? Hallelujah. It's like Sister Cindy told me this morning. He says, yeah, you know, when all this stuff really goes crazy and wild, it just lets us know we're human. Oh, really? Are we supposed to just be human? Yeah, it does. And that's exactly what it did, Sister Cindy. I sat there, and that's why I was having my pity party, because, you know, Lord, I just saw, like, this is it. I mean, you know, I need your help, you know, and I'm getting it this morning. Praise God. You know, he's just refreshing my soul, and now, you know, now what I've already preached, I'm going to have to go rebuild my closet of prayer, hallelujah, and find a place to die. I mean, that's how we got to look at it, church. Glory. Woo, what a joy. I can die for Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So following peace, peaceable. In other words, another column built in this structure, this superstructure of Christianity that God is building in me. Hallelujah. And through me. And the next one, gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, I trust you're already starting to get a glimpse that all of these columns and these things, amen, that wisdom begins to incorporate into my life, have everything to do with touching somebody else's life. Touching somebody else's life. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. See, I'm touching somebody else by putting this column of gentleness in place into my house, into my life. Then I am becoming gentle unto all men, and then I can help them. I can teach them. I can show them. I can lead them. We forget so quickly a lot of times what a mess we were when we came to Jesus. And then we see young converts come and they are a mess. And we're going like, you gotta be kidding me. And then, okay, just scroll it back a little bit in your mind when you first met Jesus. You gotta be kidding me. You look like that? You act like that? You gotta be kidding me. Woo! That's why we've got to be patient, apt to teach, gentle unto all men, hallelujah, because that's how grace is. That's how grace is. That's how mercy is, hallelujah. Praise our God. Reasonableness, easy to be entreated. Oh, man, Sister Pepper just taught on this. A good listener. Reasonableness. What is that? Easy to be entreated. Reasonableness. In other words, being reasonable with people. Letting people share their thoughts. Share what they're going through. Listening to folks. Hallelujah. Just being reasonable. Don't give them the three steps of what they shouldn't have done. Has that ever helped anybody? Not at all. Now, I grant it, there is a time when we can say, I told you so. There is a time for that. It's when they come and say, go ahead and say it. Then we have the opportunity. Well, I tried to tell you. I've got to do that a lot in my ministry. I really have. Hallelujah. And I just wait until they come and ask for it. I don't go running to them when, you know, they finally wake up. Praise God. But when they ask and when they say, go ahead. I go ahead. Yep, I tried to tell you so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Reasonable. Easy to be entreated. Easy for someone to share their faults to without trying to tear them apart, rearrange them, and make them like you. Mm-hmm. Wow. This needs to be preached somewhere in a holiness Bible school. Woo. I mean, because we're not trying to make clones here. We're trying to get people surrendered to Jesus Christ following God. Hallelujah. Amen. Helpfulness. Full of mercy and good fruits. Helpfulness. So in other words, you know, mercy and good fruits, in other words, good deeds, acts of kindness, helpfulness. Matthew 25:34. It says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And of course, you know the rest of the story. They go, "Well, when in the world did we do this unto you?" And we said, "When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me." Helpfulness. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is not just mere helpfulness that some come by naturally. This is one of the columns of wisdom that comes from surrender to Jesus Christ. And I am becoming helpful because I want to really help somebody, not just look good. Because I really want to help somebody. Hallelujah. And so helpfulness is just that desire that wherever, whoever, however, count on me. Because I will be there. Hallelujah. That's another one of those columns in that house of Christianity. Praise. Humility. Without partiality. James said without partiality means humility. You esteem others greater than yourself. Humility. So there's no partiality when everybody comes before you do. When everybody is a concern for you. Hallelujah. You want to help Weston as much as you want to help Brother Shelton. Hallelujah. You know, you just, the reality, humility, that without partiality, we're all part of the kingdom of God. We're all growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we're not better than we're the children of an almighty God. Hallelujah. And we have arrived to this state that we're at by the grace and the mercy of our God. Hallelujah. Because we've maintained wisdom. That hearty fear of God, of surrender and obedience to God, which then has wisdom building these things in our lives, these columns. And these are just a few, amen, but they cover some pretty good territory. Humility, Romans 11:20. "Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." Beware of how or what kind of attitude you have towards people. Because if God cast out the Jews, he can cast you out too. Yeah. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. We believe in the continual building of wisdom. Hallelujah. The foundation laid and continued to build. Oh, wow. Just keep building. Hallelujah. And let that structure and that house for God become stronger and larger. And wow. The more you grow, the more you can do for God. The less you grow, the less you can do for God. See, it's not a matter of God. It's a matter of you and I growing into what he wants us to be. Thus, he can then start using us where he wants to use us. Praise God. Glory. You know, I was sharing with Brother Mike here before church started about all the hats that I had on in the school over there. Amen. You know? Woo, praise God. You know, I mean, it's not, I'm not just a teacher of math and English and science and history. And I'm the tech, computer tech, and the computer repair man. And yeah, I also repair the ceiling tiles. And I mean, praise God. you know, as you build and you grow in Jesus Christ, the more you will be able to do for the kingdom of God. Because your confidence and your strength will be in Him. And you know what He can do. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. So humility is keeping the right attitude. I don't need to be critical of others. I don't need to be condemning of others. I need to always be trying to strengthen and encourage and edify and build up the kingdom. Praise God. Sincerity. He said, without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Sincerity is the opposite of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing another thing. Sincerity is, if I said it, I will do it. I'm not talking about pride. I'm not talking about stubbornness. I'm talking about integrity. Lord, I said I would follow You. And Lord, I will do it with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. Sincerity. Sincerity. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. James chapter 1, verse number 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Sincerity means that I am centered on Jesus Christ to follow Him, be like Him, and do what He asked me to do. That's sincerity. Truth is the revelation of Jesus Christ to my life from God's holy word. Hallelujah. I've got to have wisdom working in my life. I've got to have, just like I've got to, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith, we got to understand, once again, is linked to obedience to God. Faith is linked to the fear of the Lord. Faith is linked to the reality of born again by the Spirit of God. And so, you know, faith then, I got to have faith to please the Lord. Well, I've also got to have wisdom, which is the proper use of knowledge to please my God. Allowing wisdom to have her perfect work. Hallelujah. And when that wisdom is working in me, hallelujah, there we'll have it. We'll have those columns being put into our lives of purity, of righteousness, being peaceable, trying to help people, gentleness, reasonableness, a good listener, helpfulness, full of mercy and good fruits. Wow. Man, just if our prayer was not other than, Lord, help me to be full of mercy. Help me to be full of mercy and good fruits. I mean, that would keep me humble. That would keep me sincere. I mean, it's just the reality. These columns, these pillars in our lives will make us strong in the power of His might. And then you get the infilling of the Holy Ghost on top of this all, or even before these columns begin. Somewhere there needs to be some empowerment of the Holy Ghost of God to get these columns established in my life. Glory. Thus, a life of genuine wisdom is a life founded upon the fear of the Lord and then supported by genuine purity, peaceableness, gentleness, reasonableness, helpfulness, humility, sincerity. Such a house will never fall. Will never fall. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. We don't have to fall. We don't have to backslide. No. We've just got to continually be asking God for wisdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Could I have a piano player? again this morning. This is just one of those messages that it's just like, wow, I knew that. See, there it is again. I knew that. And I needed that. Hallelujah. To refresh my mind and renew my mind. Hallelujah. Of what I really need to be in pursuit of. You see, if I get in pursuit of this wisdom and this work of God in my life, did you notice that it's going to affect everybody you meet? You won't have to worry about being a light to shine. It will just happen. That's how God wants it. That's really what Jesus was telling his disciples. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. What was that power from on high going to produce? He's going to produce these seven columns of wisdom. See, the disciples didn't have to come up with programs or ways of outreach. Just everywhere they went, they touched somebody's life. They just did. Peter and John were on their way to prayer. They weren't going to the street to witness. They were on their way to prayer, and they just happened to meet a man on the street, and the Spirit of God said, pray for this man. He'll be healed. That's what God's after. Your life, my life. That we can be driving down the road, stop somewhere, pray for this man, talk to this woman. Because that's how they were the witness. Philip went down to Samaria. It really doesn't talk so much about him talking to anybody. He began to pray for folks. Woo. Oh. We're back to that closet of prayer again. Go pray in secret, and I'll reward you openly. Oh, my. Oh, help us, Jesus. Wisdom. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out seven pillars. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. The foundation, Jesus Christ. And if I need wisdom, then I've got to go to God and ask. Wow. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Just go ahead and make your way to the altar. Just for a little while as we're closing from the morning service. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, just let this begin to soak in. Just to start laying down. Hallelujah. Settling on my soul. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, God. Wisdom.
Faith that is firm.